Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, your average car has this touchscreen from which you control many aspects of the vehicle's functions, but it is a bit fecky and can be inefficient. Would it not be a good idea to go back to old-fashioned buttons? It might be about to happen with a new set of European regulations. Geraldine Herbert is motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. Afternoon, Geraldine.
Good afternoon, Sean. This is the opposite of happiness now, what people feel using these touchscreens.
Yes, indeed. And so, like, are there, so is it definitely going to happen that the EU is going to encourage buttons in cars?
Yeah, so essentially what is going to happen is the Euro NCAP, now these are the people who crash test cars and give them a safety rating. You won't be able to get a five-star rating, and that's the full five stars in 2026 if your car doesn't have physical buttons. Now, it's only for core functions. So they define these as indicators, hazard lights, horns, wipers and SOS. Now, the problem with this is, Sean, it's good in theory and it's a great move forward. It is definitely to be welcomed. But first of all, I don't think that's enough of core functions. They should include climate control and radio, the volume with that as well. But the other thing as well is the only cars that get tested are cars that are new to the market. So that'll be any of the cars that are brand new to the market next year will be tested and will have to conform to this. But obviously, any of the cars currently on the market that have been crash tested already don't have to until they're completely revised, maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, and then they, you know, they'll merit another crash test. So it'll take a long time for these changes to actually filter through to the new car market, let alone the second-hand market. So it's coming, but it's very slow.
Yeah, and why did all the what were traditional button-operated devices migrate onto one screen? Was it cheaper to do it that way?
It was a combination of things. Basically, if you go back to the introduction of the iPhone in 2007, that was sort of a turning point in how people interacted with technology. Plus, that reduced the cost of making screens. So from then onwards, really, consumer habits changed completely. And car makers responded by putting touchscreens into cars. Now, I think this was welcomed by consumers because they kind of got into the car then and all of this was very familiar to them. They thought, this is just like what I have in my pocket. So I know how to use these. But the real issue is how you use your phone and how you use a screen when you're driving are completely different things. And I think the problem is we've tried to replicate one like the other, but they're totally different environments. So, you know, this has just become more and more extreme. The buttons have disappeared, as you said. And now we have literally, I mean, I've had cars where you've had to scroll through a touchscreen to open the glove box. Now, I know you're not going to do that when you're driving, but that's pretty ridiculous. I've had cars where you've had to change the wing mirrors. You've had to scroll through menus, you know. So, I mean, like that's just getting to the point now where it's just silly.
Yeah. Now, and also when you're driving and even for things like the radio or sat nav, it's dangerous because it's not a glance or you just reach for something and touch it. You have to look at it to operate it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you have to, and with some of them, as I said, you have to actually scroll through various different menus. Now, there was a Swedish car magazine that did a test on this, and they had 12 cars and they rated them against a 2005 old Volvo, right, with your old style system with buttons for everything. And they had to do various different tasks while driving at 110 kilometres an hour. So they had to activate heated seats and just the climate. They had to turn the radio on. They had to dim the interior lights. And they discovered the worst of these were nearly four times longer, and they took four times longer to change or to do than your original buttons. So you can imagine driving at 110 kilometres an hour. That's a, you know, even a couple of seconds with your eyes off the road, anything can happen at that time. So they are an awful lot more dangerous. There's no doubt about that.
Now, from the point of view of the car manufacturers, I assume it was cheaper to put everything on a screen. Will it add to the price of cars now that they have to put in buttons again?
Yeah, you see, the thing about the screen was you could adjust these things, you could have software updates, you could constantly update the screens without any great cost. So yeah, it probably will. And I mean, any excuse and they'll increase the price. But I think when it comes to the fact of the five-star rating, which is a big thing with families when they're buying cars, you know, at the risk of not getting that rating, I think car makers will just be forced to put these in. Hopefully we're not going to see an increase in price with it, but you know, you can never say never, Sean, when it comes to, you know, added features in cars.
And from the safety point of view, would it be fair to say it's particularly dangerous for drivers in Britain and Ireland because it's on the other side? We have to operate them with our left hand.
Yeah, this is something people don't realise, because these screens are designed really for the majority of people who are right-handed to be used with your right hand to be navigating them. But of course, because we drive on the opposite side of the road to the rest of Europe, we're actually navigating these with our left hands, which makes the whole process even more complex. So again, that, you know, adds to the usability issues for Irish and UK drivers. And it's something that's not considered, I suppose, when they're designing these things. These cars are always designed with the opposite side of the road in mind.
Yeah. Are there any cars that you can buy now that aren't, you know, that maybe are a bit more button friendly?
No, some of them are getting better. Volkswagen have come out and said, and they got huge criticism for their infotainment systems because they were particularly laggy and particularly annoying, that they're going to introduce more buttons. And this is aside from just the Euro NCAP thing. Toyota have said the same. But as I said, I think if the Euro NCAP, when this comes in next year, we'll see a move generally towards more buttons. I mean, the other thing as well is you can just put buttons on the steering wheel. So at least, again, you can still change things. But I mean, like, touchscreens are here to stay. There's no doubt about that. As I said, people like that familiarity when they get into a car, that it's the same. But I think we do need a mix of voice control, of physical buttons for key functions. And just like, they could just be better designed, some of these things. I mean, you know, simple just usability design would make touchscreens an awful lot easier in a lot of cars.
Yeah. Well, pretty much everyone who's texted in so far hates touchscreens. So maybe they need to rethink that. And somebody says there was a recent, sadly fatal case where a fireman went to a Tesla car on fire, couldn't open the doors to free the occupants as there were no buttons on the doors.
Yeah, I mean, I often wonder about that safety aspect of them as well, because I had a car a few weeks ago and the infotainment system just stopped working for 24 hours. Literally no screen, no nothing. Nothing I could do would work. And then I got back into the car the next morning, bing, it started working again. So you do think when you're assigning all of those, you know, controls to a screen, if the screen glitches or if something happens, you know, surely there should be an override physical button somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, it raises all sorts of issues on that scale as well.
Geraldine, thanks a million. As ever, that was Geraldine Herbert there, motoring editor and columnist with the Sunday Independent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.